God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. Such words evoke in me a sense of patriotism about my homeland that gives me chills. It excites me because I'm deeply grateful to be an American and all that it involves and means to be part of this great country. But I'll admit to you also that at the same time there is a certain amount of embarrassment that wells up within me. I have seen in other countries nationalism that seems strange to me. And while we call it nationalism elsewhere because they are so engrossed with their country and think that their country is all important, we call it patriotism at home. And I don't want to be so ethnocentric that I think that we are the only people. And I don't want to be so nationalistic to not have a view of the rest of the world and all that God is there doing. I want to be, first of all, a citizen of the kingdom of God. And I want to be very much a world Christian. And yet, saying that, I see that God has blessed America. We are the fourth largest nation of the world, both in terms of land area and in terms of people. We are the most diverse of all the world's population, and that's largely because we are a nation of immigrants. So we come from all of the nations of the world, and not only in distant heritage, but in current events as well. There are 600,000 people who legally immigrate into the United States every year, and it is estimated another 600,000 illegally come in for 1.2 million new people of our country every single year. No other country in the world has been as influenced by Christianity. 87% of our people claim to be Christians. 67.7% of our people are affiliated with churches, and an average of 41% are in church on a regular basis. As evangelical Christians, those who would say that we are born again, we represent a fourth of the population of this country and have extraordinary influence in politics, in the arts, in the media, in all different realms of life. Evangelicals have more influence here probably than anywhere else in all of the world today. If you were to take all of the evangelicals in all of the world, 22% of them, of all of the evangelicals of this globe, are in this country. And that's both a cause and effect for the significant spiritual awakening that has swept across America since the mid-1970s, so that historians will look back to our lifetime and will say that one of, if not the greatest, of all spiritual awakenings in the history of the United States of America took place in the mid to late 1970s and into the 1980s. The Church of Jesus Christ has grown and is growing faster in America today than ever before. Our Protestant missionary force in the United States of 45,000 plus missionaries is about 55% of the world's total missionary population. In America, we boast colleges and seminaries and radio stations and television stations, student organizations, publishing houses, Christian ministries galore, in addition to all of the churches and all of the Christians. It is absolutely astonishing. God has indeed blessed America. All of which may lead us to two invalid conclusions. The one, that America is evangelized, and the other, that our exclusive focus, therefore, should be on winning the rest of the world outside of America. I think these conclusions are reinforced when we hear, for example, that 95% of the full-time Christian workers in the world minister to the 5% of the people who have already heard the gospel, and that is nowhere a greater influence and reality than within our own country. I call those invalid conclusions. That's because we are not evangelized, and that's because we cannot seek to reach the rest of the world to the exclusion of the United States. Therefore, I believe that we as American Christians have a twofold responsibility. The first is to strengthen the base. The Great Commission, according to the Holy Spirit in Acts 1:8, has very carefully chosen words, saying, "You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And those words were so chosen because the Holy Spirit knew that the Jerusalem church had to be strong in order to evangelize Judea, in order to reach Samaria, in order to witness to all of the rest of the earth. Now, down through the history of the Christian church, there has been a tendency to fall to one extreme or the other, and that's evidenced in the American church today. There are churches that have so faulted towards reaching the rest of the earth that they have spent so much of their money and given so much of their people and their resources to overseas ministries that they have decimated the home base until eventually they were hopelessly overextended, unable to send out any more and unable to adequately support those who were sent. And then there have been those who, quite to the other extreme, have poured their resources into themselves, into their buildings, into their programs, have kept their very best of people for their own ministries, and maybe given token expression that someday they would get around to reaching the rest of the world, but in fact haven't, and have been largely self-serving or had an immediate effect only in the United States in the evangelistic outreach that has been theirs. You see, the biblical balance, the intent of Scripture and the design of the Holy Spirit is that we have a strong base so that we can reach the rest of the world. Now, I think that we have a difficult balance to strike here at Wooddale Church. As most of you know, we are now embarking on a third major building program, a multi-million dollar building program, and it is the third multi-million dollar building program in as many years. You probably know that we have added a plethora of programs until there are times when I look at our bulletin and I see all the inserts and all the things that are going on, some of which I know less about than you do. And I think it looks more like a university catalog than it looks like a church bulletin or a church program. We are building and have one of the finest and one of the larger of church staffs. I hope we realize that we're not just doing all this for ourselves. I hope we have a sense of what the balance is all about. That which we have set ourselves to do is to build a home base so that we can better go and reach the rest of the world for Jesus Christ. And that we must do that here and there simultaneously and not sequentially. We must never be lulled into the concept that we'll do it here, we'll get all of our people in place, we'll get all of our bills paid, we'll have all of our buildings taken care of, and then we'll move on, and then we'll take care of the rest of the world. It cannot be sequential like that. It must be simultaneous. Now, all that said, I believe that God has called us to grow and to strengthen Wooddale Church. That is the biblical thing to do, that is our responsibility, and it is our responsibility far beyond our own walls and our own community, that God has called us to grow and to strengthen the American church, and that we must continue to do that, strengthen the base for the purpose of world evangelization. But it's a double responsibility, that we strengthen the base, but that we also reach our unreached. A second responsibility, recognizing that someone who is without Jesus Christ in America is just as lost as someone who is without Jesus Christ in China or in the Cameroon. Now, I know there are people who say now, yeah, in fact, I've heard people, so I've had them say it to me, anyone can hear the gospel in America. All they got to do is turn on the radio. Any place in this country, any metropolitan area, and there are Christian stations and they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we don't really have to do anything more here. I hope you know that that's not true. Because there are many, many people who will not turn on a radio to a Christian station. And there are many people who, even if they did, would not understand that which was being told them. Let me tell you some things about the unreached peoples of the United States of America. Let me tell you that there are 158 living American languages. 158. Now, I'm not talking about people who have come from European countries with European languages or from Pacific Rim countries with Pacific Rim languages. 158 indigenous languages to the United States. Some of them have as few as 10 speakers, people who speak that language, and soon at the end of this generation, when they die, that language will be extinct. Others that have thousands and thousands of indigenous speakers. There are 18 of those 158 languages that have been targeted by missiologists as needing translation of the scripture. And so Wycliffe Bible Translators is working in the United States on some of these 18 languages to get the scripture into the people of our own country. Let me tell you that Hispanics in America, one of the fastest growing segments of our population, Hispanics number over 20 million people, almost a tenth of the population of the United States, and yet only 4% of those 20 million Hispanics could be considered to be born again. They are an enormous segment of our population that is largely unreached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you that foreign students in the United States number 300,000. That one out of every 10 college or university students in this country are foreign students who are here specifically to study in the United States. That of those 300,000, 60% are Asian. 15% are Latin American, 13% come from Africa. That about 120,000 of them, that is an amazing statistic, about 120,000 of the 300,000 are considered Muslim. And that the largest segment of those are Iranian in nationality. Those who are reached here within our shores and within our boundaries, here in America, have the potential to reach people for Jesus Christ in places where we couldn't go if we wanted to, where we could never possibly send a missionary or have evangelistic access. Let me tell you that in the area of metropolitan Detroit, there are 300,000 Arabs. Let me tell you that in the Los Angeles basin, there are large groups of people who speak 127 different languages. Just within the Los Angeles area. Let me tell you that one of the booming, unreached segments of the American population who need the gospel of Jesus Christ are those who are victims of AIDS. Who's going to reach them? And let me ask you, what of our own communities? Be interesting to take a survey to get an estimate on what percentage we think of the communities in which we live are those who have made commitments to Jesus Christ. I think if we were to estimate 50%, we would be generous. But if that would be correct, if 50% of all the people in the communities from which we come know Jesus Christ as personal Savior and follow Him as Lord, that means then that there are 15,000 people here in the city of Eden Prairie who need to be reached for Jesus Christ. That there are at least 50,000 in neighboring Bloomington, 200,000 in Minneapolis, a million at least in our metropolitan area, whom we need to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we've been blessed. America has been blessed. Wooddale Church has been blessed. No doubt about any of those statements. And yet Jesus said in Luke 12:48, that everyone to whom much is given, of him will much be required. Well, it comes back again to the same question. What can we do? Many of us have decided that we cannot go for whatever reasons. We have not become missionaries, and most of us will not become missionaries. There are many of us who, for whatever reasons, could not or did not fold down the corner of the card in this morning's service, indicating a willingness to pursue the possibility of missionary service. Although, interestingly, 130 different people did this morning indicate such a response. But again, we know that most of those, in reality, because of one situation or circumstance or another, shall not end up being missionaries in distant lands. That means, then, that most of us, including most of us who have expressed an overt willingness, most of us will have our missionary service here in our own country, in our own communities, and that we must then pray for ourselves. We must pray for our own country to be evangelized so that the base be strengthened and so that we reach our own unreached. What about targeting in on the large Korean population of the west coast of the United States? Or how about praying for the Jews in the United States? One-third of all the Jews in the world live in this country, and most of them, a significant percentage, live in the New York metropolitan area. What about praying for them? Or the Haitians who are in South Florida? Or what about targeting in on some specific other group, like Mexicans who are in Texas? And every day, pray for some specific group of people to be effectively reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ here within our own boundaries. And how about, again, giving? A certain amount of the money that is part of our faith promises goes to ministries within the United States. And how about witnessing? Being the missionaries to our own families, to our own neighbors and co-workers, and preaching the gospel to those of God's creation. And how about being creative? I remember a couple of years ago when I first read Peters and Waterman's book, In Search of Excellence, that I was impressed that one of the marks of the excellent companies of America is that they had an entrepreneurship that marked them. In fact, I suppose you might say that the two characteristics of America's great companies were that they had a central ethos or drive that held them together qualitatively, but they also, while they had that centrally, had an entrepreneurship that allowed the employees of that company to think up new ideas and to do creative and different things in terms of their products or even generating new products. What if we were to do that in terms of our community and in terms of our country? What if some of us were to pray prayers and say, Lord, what would you like me to do? I don't have any good ideas, but help me to think up a good idea of some people that I could reach, something that I could do. Not that the initiative comes from the church or some other organization, but something that you would just lay on my heart and then as simply or as humbly as possible, just get it rolling, get it started. To reach some people who aren't otherwise being reached. To pray for some people who are unevangelized. What about those people who have AIDS? Just think of the potential of someone who is here tonight having the whole idea laid upon your heart of a ministry to those who are victims of this dread disease. So that you would do something that maybe otherwise you never would do were it not for the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, but that you were to search out where there are people who are suffering from this terminal illness and you would establish a ministry to them and touch them with the gospel and with the love of Jesus Christ. And that would begin a network that would spread. And what God does in your life would then spread to other people. And that instead of a sense of the disease being contagious, the love of Jesus Christ would be contagious. So that again, from history's point of view, those who write a century or two or three from now would be able to look back and say that the worst epidemic that ever hit the world was this AIDS epidemic at the latter part of the 20th century, but an extraordinary thing happened. There were some Christian people who, because of their commitment to Jesus Christ and the initiative that God gave to them, turned it into one of the greatest spiritual awakenings that ever happened. For there it was demonstrated what the love of Jesus Christ was about to people who were dying. and giving to them the opportunity to live forever. Oh, that's only an example. It need not be that example. But would you consider praying openly and candidly, asking God what you can do, what we can do, as entrepreneurs for Jesus Christ, to reach the unevangelized of America, that we strengthen our base, and that we reach our unreached. We're going to conclude with singing some familiar words, but I'm going to ask you to sing these words in a totally different way than I think you have ever sung them before. I want you to sing them not as a patriotic American, but instead as a committed Christian. I invite you to sing these words not as some kind of arrogant boast to our country or to our flag or to our nation, but to sing them as a humble prayer, asking for God's blessing. To sing these words with a desire to see God pour out His great spiritual blessings on America, so that we in turn may share the good news of Jesus Christ with all the rest of the world. As Christians, humbly, as a prayer, let's sing the words that you have on the sheet before you tonight. God bless America.